Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone. Today we're recommending Sword of Shannara by Terry Brooks. It's a book about elves, I think. So if you're enjoying the show, give the free trial a chance. It'll help us pay for the hosting. But I'm not sure what that is. I'm just a wizard. Enjoy the episode. Next scroll. Reese's, where are you?
In the land of fantasy and the fields of fiction, there rode two knights across the plain. Two thieves of the night, two warriors of honor. In the shadow of the mountain, cry their name.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
And you just heard our new theme composed by our friend Ian D.G. Bennett. You can follow him at Ian D.G. Bennett on Twitter. And you can visit his website, ianbennettmusic.com. I'll put all that stuff in the show notes. But Ian is my friend who I've known forever. And Ian has always been in bands, and music has been his life since I've known him in middle school. What's crazy is that Ian learned how to do, like, Pro Tools and, like, play all these different instruments by himself.
Yeah.
And now he composes music for TV, like,
That's awesome.
Film. He works completely out of his home, and I'm kind of super proud of him, and I think it's really rad that he's doing that now. And I'm super flattered that he took the time to write that amazing theme.
Yeah, that theme is fucking awesome, first of all.
But before we get into anything, Josh, we were just on a show called That Drawing Show, and you can find it on YouTube. We'll put a link in the description, and it's a show where people draw and talk and hang out, and you get to see all the drawings. And our friend Terrence runs it. It's a great show. And we did a special Fantasy Fiction episode.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. Steph Baum joined us. Ryan Jampol joined us.
Jamps.
Dan Jones, and you were there. You were even drawing.
I did. I drew, I mean, I guess you could call it that. I doodled a little bit, but I'm not a drawer. I don't usually sit down and draw, but it was a lot of fun. I'm glad that they had us on. I mean, it was really fun.
I like Terrence a lot. I think he runs a great show, and I think you guys should check it out.
Yeah.
But other than that, Josh, what did you do this week?
I started a new show that you might see soon-ish.
This Friday, March 7th.
That's the one with with Dom and Mike Sadorf. We watched The X-Files, right? The pilot episode of The X-Files. And then we talked about it. So on Friday, check that out.
Yeah, so pretty much the new show is like a TV show book club, kind of. It's the book club format where we watch the first episode of X-Files, and next week we'll watch something else. I believe it's the first episode of Star Trek Next Generation.
Yes.
But you are encouraged to leave comments and join in on the conversation. And we're just going to talk about shows that we've seen, that we love, or we've never seen before, or weird episodes of shows like the last episode of Dinosaurs.
Yep. Yep. that's pretty much the show. That's I think we just wrote our first wrote. I guess we did our first three episodes just now.
Yeah, right there. You could follow it at Syndication Pod and Syndication Station on Facebook, but we'll put out links to that everywhere, I guess, cuz it's a new show.
Yep. Dom, what did you do this week besides the show that we're doing?
I kind of don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember what I did either. I don't remember doing much of anything besides work.
Yeah, just working on stuff. Yeah. I drew a lot on some invoices.
Oh, yes.
I shipped out a bunch of stuff. We launched the Big Cartel store last week, and we're sold out of shirts. Thank you guys so much for buying these things. And thank you for supporting the show.
Yeah.
The money that we got from that went into buying more shirts, and we'll have some more next week. We'll have Buff Cat ones in black with white ink. So,
hell yeah.
If you order something, I will draw on the invoice, because I usually do that on the dub, and drawing is fun.
On the dub dub.
You know what I'm saying?
It's code.
It's code for Wizard World.
Yeah. It's like Disney World.
Anyway, what do you say we stop all this yammer and we get into some GD fiction?
Let's fucking do it.
Tales of Portals and Cursed Weapons. I almost made my story about a cussed weapon.
A cussed weapon?
Yeah.
I made mine not about a weapon, but it's cursed.
Whoa. Whoa.
So, okay. Spoiler alert.
All right, let's hear about that story right now.
Go, right now, go. Are you ready, Dom?
Oh, you know I'm ready, baby. Hit me with that fantasy on my lips. Give me a kiss of a fiction.
Well, everybody, that was my story. Next up is Dom's story.
We'll see you then.
I couldn't think of a title for my story, so I titled it The Jazz Singer. All right.
Oh, good God.
Daranos is home to all kinds of kings and queens and all that kind of shit. There are duchesses and dukes and even one king who is king of the mice people. They call him Jimmy Mice King, and he has a sewing needle for a sword and a thimble for a helmet, and ants drive his chariot, and he's pretty cool.
This is adorable.
But that's a story for another time.
Damn it.
When I was writing this, I was like, man, I should just write the story about this. And I was like, nah.
Yeah, you were like, do I go left? Do I go right?
Right. Which way? It was a major fork in the road, one paragraph in. This tale begins in the city of Ravenstalon in central Daranos, a city as jizz-inducing as its ruler, Queen High Duchess Lady Chandra Everluck.
Damn!
Lady Chandra, Lady Chandra! A panicked voice cried out. Yes, what is it, my loyal assistant? Lady Chandra replied atop her throne that had etchings of dudes and speedos on it. One guy even had a ball hanging out, and you could totally see some side dick if you looked just right.
You know, that's like when the throne room was empty, like the teenagers came and go, yeah. Yo, check it out.
Yeah, like, there's a dick. Oh, yeah.
Mine it's like that scene in Teen Wolf.
Yep. Atop her beautiful red golden locks sat a crown of pure white gold with rubies and gems and rave rubies and one of Reese's toenails.
Oh my golden toenails.
Ew. Got fungus.
Yuck.
Ugh. On the front of the crown was a giant glowing emerald clasped by a golden hand, just giving everyone the fucking finger. Just on top of the crown, throwing up the unicorn.
That means middle finger?
Yeah.
That's a great name for it. I'm like ashamed I didn't think of that. That's amazing.
I've heard it before. I didn't come up with it.
Because I should have. I should have been better than that. Josh, you beat me.
You beat me.
I'm nothing.
No,
all right, you win.
No.
You win the fantasy fiction.
That's the end of my story. Lady Chandra, the voice grew more panicked as it echoed through the massive throne chamber. Soon a figure came into sight and it rounded the corner into the room. It was Gary the Skele-Man.
Oh, man.
Yes, Gary, what is it? Chandra questioned. Oh, me lady, you look especially bone-engorging today, but we have a serious problem. Thank you, Gary. You are very kind and the nicest Skele-Man assistant I've ever had. Not like your predecessor, passive-aggressive Larry. She pointed over to a coat rack in the corner that was just Larry the Skele-Man holding a bunch of jackets. He turned to look at them and he said, yeah, you look better today than you did yesterday, faux show. Then went back to holding coats like a fucking boss. My lady, please come outside with me and see what's happening to your kingdom, Gary said as he kneeled down in front of Lady Chandra's throne and let her step on him to assist her down from their seat of power. As she did, he didn't even look up her dress because he was a gentleman. And also, he didn't have a balls or a peener anymore, so, like, whatever, man.
But the eye does wonder sometimes.
The eye does wonder. Even if you're a skeleton.
Oh, the curious eye.
They made their way outside when they saw all hell was breaking loose. A full-blown riot was taking place. People were flipping bone cars. A stack of gnomes dressed as a regular-sized man were throwing rocks into a store window and stealing a 60-inch all-sea ball.
Damn, 60 inches!
That's huge. A street vendor...
There's just looting going on.
Yeah, it's crazy. A street vendor was selling Bapples to a line of chairs that used to be people with families and loved ones who will probably not enjoy the chair as much as they enjoyed having a dad or mom.
Oh my god.
A man ran by the Queen and Gary on fire screaming something about getting wife bones tickets, and then he exploded as a skeleton kept running into an old candle store where it shopped for candles to replace what used to be his eyes, which gave him more confidence, which eventually led him to asking that girl out that he liked, and then they probably got married because they were in love, even though marriage is a sham.
Wait, he did all this with candle eyes? Is that what you said?
Yeah. like a spooky, like, you know.
So she changes his candle eyes every once in a while.
I think he probably goes back to the store because they give him a good deal because he's like a repeat customer.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Anyway. Why is this happening, Gary? Why is my kingdom falling apart around me? Lady Chandra asked. As Flight 69 out of Grawl, a passenger wyvern crashed into the ground in the background, exploding into guts and feathers and bones. Survivors.
Oh my god.
It's fucking the end of the world, dude.
Why is this happening?
My lady, I did some research in the library of dusty old books and things and found this prophecy in the prophecy section, Gary said. He held up an old cloth with the words, "Dat crown cursed as fuck," written on it. Below that appeared to be a grocery list, which read, 1. Turnips. 2. Bone Advil for my scorching case of corn lips.
Bone Advil?
Yeah, Bone Advil. It's just bones. It's a placebo. It's
just, my brain can't even wrap myself around it.
You know those candies that are the coffins when you put the skeleton together? That's what their aspirin looks like in there.
Okay.
It's delicious.
Okay, gotcha. Good candy.
It is good. Number 3, not Bapples. You got to put that on your list just in case you buy them.
Yeah, you can't be like, oh, let me get this guy.
But this crown, Chandra went on, it's been in my family for generations. Dozens of Everlux have worn this crown and sat on the throne ruling over Ravensalon. Why now? She asked. This crown is rejecting your beauty, my queen, Gary went on, and it's rejecting your just and compassionate ruling nature. I mean, shucks, unemployment is at -30%. Crime is so low that whenever someone gets a bone car speeding ticket, the PODs apologize to the driver and then let them go, and then the paladins make them dinner.
Oh my god.
Our students are reading at a 98th grade level, and our Moons Ball team has won 6 Moons Bowl titles in a row.
What? Dude, Ravenstown is kind of the best town in the world, except for all this looting that's happening.
It's like reverse Philly, except for all this looting that's happening.
No, that happens.
Yep. There is only one thing we can do, Chandra said with a determined look on her face. Get some Froyo, Gary said, with the same determined look on his face. No, Chandra said. We have to destroy it. Then we get Froyo. Soon the two were making their way into the woods south of Ravenstalon. As they were about to enter the woods, Chandra looked back at her city, engulfed in flames. The screams of 1,000 suffering people could be heard. She saw her castle, and over top one of the towers, a flag was being hoisted that just had the middle finger on it. It waved there in the wind as if to say, "Hey, I fucked your city up. What are you going to do about it? Probably nothing, you smelly idiot."
A hand unicorn? On the lady's castle.
My lady's castle. Chandra took the crown from her head and put it in a sack, then tied it to her waist next to her queen sword named Cunslayer, Fist of the Handbox, and Sausage Slicer of Eternal Justice, bitches. The sword's purple glow emanated from the sheath as the ghost of 1,000 severed dicks imbued its blade.
Oh my god.
We should be careful, my queen, Gary said, as his bones shattered in fear. These woods are said to be the home of bandits. Just then, out of fucking nowhere, an arrow came shrieking out of the brush and hit Gary right in the eye socket. Oh, fiddlesticks! Gary said as he fell over, not in any pain because he's a skeleton. No, Gary! Chantra yelled as she drew her sword. Suddenly, they were surrounded by a dozen dogmen. One, who appeared to be the leader, stepped forward. I am Gravy Chops, leader of this band of dogmen bandits, enemy of Buffcat, and the heroes of Derinos. I am here to relieve you of your burdens of carrying your gold, jewels, and any milk bones if you got them. Never! Chandra screamed. Yield, for I am the queen of Raven's Talon, and these milk bones are Gary's treats when he does a good job at stuff. Prepare to be queen of dead stupid idiots, Gravy Chops yelled as he drew his axe and Matrix jumped towards Chandra. The two did some karate in the air for what felt like at least two DBZ episodes and then disengaged.
By the way, DBZ episodes are mostly...
Dude. Dude, it's like I'm watching the show right now.
Yeah, it's like I was acting this fight out.
that's exactly how I thought of it, the way you voiced it. There it is. Chandra found another dog man and cut his head clean off. Blood and gross shit flew out of his neck hole, and his head hit the ground still panting because dogs can't sweat. Another dog man came up behind her and grabbed her. She headbutted him with the back of her head, and he howled. She broke free. And as he was howling, she quickly grabbed some chocolate throwing stars she had from her pocket and threw them into his mouth, and then he exploded. The dogmen stopped their attack, now terrified. Kneel before me, dogmen, for I have chocolate and milk bones, she screamed to the heavens. Gravy Chops and his bandits were all now wagging their tails and rolling over in the grass. Chandra had them. Gary sat up and plucked the arrow from his eye. Ouchies! That was just the hardest little bugger to get out.
Oh, Gary.
Chandra sheathed her sword and bellowed, Now, dogs, mush! As she did, the dogmen all lined up in formation. Chandra pulled the shield from off her back and tied a rope around the dogmen. Hop on, Gary, she said, as Gary piggybacked onto her. Mush, dogs, she yelled. Then she and Gary dog-sledded right the shit out of the forest. Soon they came to a gaping chasm. She rode the dogs right the hell off of the cliff.
Oh my god.
As they fell, Gravy Chops yelled, Curse you, Chandra Everlock. I'll kill you for not giving me a milk bone.
Clearly you will not.
Then you died. Then the dogs exploded at the bottom of the chasm. Or did they?
This story keeps taking extreme turns.
It's crazy.
You should have prepared me for this, Josh.
I'm sorry. There's a disclaimer at the beginning of it. If you have a heart condition, don't listen to this.
I was not ready for this.
We did it, Gary, Chandra said. We made it. In front of them, hovering over the chasm, was a great swirling portal. Next to the portal, there was a sign that read, The Great Derinosian Portal to Who the Heck Even Knows Where. All around them, people were throwing all kinds of things into it. A goblin was emptying his trash into it. A couple of Grawl troll gangsters were throwing what looked to be a tarp-covered dead body. Nothing to see over here, one yelled. We're just getting rid of some, books. Yeah, books. Dirty, squealing books. Another guy was throwing away poems he wrote for his ex-girlfriend. As he did, he cried and yelled, You broke my heart, Megan! Chandra reached for the sack containing the crown. She spun it over her head and hurled it into the portal. It was immediately sucked in. Wow, Gary said. Yeah, she replied. That was easy, Gary said. Okay, let's go home, I guess, now. And then they did. When they returned, everyone was back to normal. People were no longer rioting. The people who turned into chairs from eating bapples were being sat on by people who wanted to take a break and have a good sit. Chandra and Gary were enjoying some froyo and enjoying the spring day. Everything is back to normal, she said as she put her arm around Gary and they clinked froyo cups. Back at the portal, a deep menacing laugh could be heard. The laughter grew and grew. Somewhere in another part of Derinos, the sky suddenly opened up, and the sack plummeted to the earth. Inside an enormous castle, a very beautiful and comely queen sat bored at her throne, yawning, and fanning herself with the hand of a skeleton. Suddenly, a loud crash was heard, and the bag containing the crown crashed through the ceiling into the throne room. The queen and a group of rage demons looked down at the sack. What is it, my queen? One asked.
Oh my God, it is power,
she replied. Yes, Queen Axe Wound, they all said in unison.
No.
And then they began to laugh like bad guys.
No!
Bend.
No! Josh! I was not ready! The socks have blown through my shoes out of my house.
They're walking.
My shoes are ruined.
They're smoking. Your shoes are smoking.
That was a great story.
Thank you.
The return of Gary?
Yep.
Flawless.
I like to think Gary just goes around and just helps people all the time.
He sounds like a guy who would do that.
Yeah.
And Fiddlesticks? Yeah.
He would say that.
He would say that.
Alright, Josh, are you ready for my tale of portals and cursed...
Was it cursed weapons? I thought it was cursed weapons.
I thought it was items, but... it could be anything, really. I guess a
weapon is an item.
That's true.
But are you ready for it?
Yes!
Alright, Josh, this tale is called Jazz.
It's the remake of the jazz singer.
The remake.
It's the gritty remake.
It's a prequel.
Because jazz has to come first, and then you can sing.
Then you can sing about it. Right.
In the center of a black lake stood a black mage tower on the blackest night Orcspire had seen in years.
Oh my God.
It was so dark that if you put your hand out in front of your face, bears and wolves would rip it off! Okay, I understand that that is not a great illustration of the darkness, but I wanted to remind you that shit is off the chain 24/7, and bears and wolves are a very real danger in any realm.
That's very true. This episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by State Parks.
And PBS, and viewers like you.
The lake was calm. Too calm.
Oh, no.
The wind blew. A fish jumped out of the water, turned into a bat, and flew away.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck was that about? A cloaked figure in a long boat approached the black tower that was decorated with lit candles all the way to the top. And you'd be like, damn, every night someone has to go and light each and every one of those candles. But nah, yo. Magic. Black magic.
I was just gonna say, like, that does suck, and then, but, you know, I forgot. Magic.
Those are the things I think of, like, when I saw The Hobbit.
Yeah.
The Smaug, the Desolation of Smaug.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, someone's gonna light all those candles.
Yeah, like, that's like a guy's job.
But it's living.
The boat docked, and the figure removed its hood, and a skeleton!
Whoa.
Yeah, look out, y'all. Shit just got spookier.
The Lord's boat arrives, spoke the skeleton.
The door to the tower opened up, and a small bridge, a black small bridge, fell out onto the boat. Out of the tower walked a headless sorcerer with a staff that read, Dopecaster 2000, and his own head impaled onto it, dripping blood.
It was Balnakar the Severed,
dude.
The sorcerer who had his head punched off by Thrawn the Barbarian and impaled on his own goddamn staff. He was the most evil sorcerer on this side of the Mrs. Titty. The Mrs. Titty is a nickname for a large river in Orcspire. Its real name? The Big Riv.
Mrs. Titty. I like the Severed. That is a title that... I one day hope to have, but never have to have anything severed from
Yeah,
me.
That I never have to do.
Right. I don't want to have to live
for
it.
Forgetting.
Right.
Yeah.
You're late, spoke Balnakar as he got into the boat. Forgiveness, my lord. Gloomydale spooky cloaks had a 2-for-1 sale, said the skeleton in a particularly gloomy cloak at an affordable cost.
Soon the boat reached the land at the foot of a thick forest. There, waiting for them, was a human warrior armed with a claymore.
"Balnakar the Severed!" yelled the warrior. "This is the night of revenge. I have come for you!" "What the shit do you want, you sackless rat?"
said the sorcerer as he got out of the boat.
"My name is Thrax, son of Thanos. You killed my father, and I have come to avenge him. I've murdered so many fools at this point in my long, evil life," said Balnakar. "Remind me, maggot, how did I kill him?"
"You lit his home on fire while he slept."
"Jesus!"
Yes, said the sorcerer.
"Then you had it magically catapulted into Murder Mountain," said Thrax.
"Oh, okay."
"Then when the home exploded against the mountain and my father's sleeping, burning body floated through the air, you pissed a line of magic laser pee right through his head."
"Oh, yeah, I..."
"And then you had the rock giants who live on Murder Mountain slam dunk him onto the peak."
"Oh, yes, I don't have any recollection of that. You see, I killed so many worthless people," said the sorcerer. "Enough of this talk. Face me, sorcerer, and you shall meet your end," said Thrax.
But Balnakar had already begun. He dug his staff into the ground, and his eyes glowed white, then emitted a bright flash that blinded the warrior and disarmed him. The sorcerer's body walked over, picked up the claymore, and threw it into the lake, then began sucker punching him all over like 100 punches, while his head just cackled a few feet away. The sorcerer's body then drowned the warrior in the shallow of the lake.
"I've already forgotten what that was about," said Balnakar, who picked up his staff and continued into the forest.
Dude, I love him. I love him.
Dude. Dude, he's evil. I don't know if you're supposed to love him.
I don't know. I think I love evil. I think I'm in love with... He makes me want to be evil. If that's what evil is, I want to be evil.
Dude, that's not what I'm talking about. After some walking, the sorcerer approached his destination, a long-forgotten mine with a sign outside of it that read, "Ghost Mine. Warning. Not an actual haunted mine. If you smack a pickaxe around down there, you're just going to create some ghosts. So don't do that."
So that's where they come
from. So it's a mine. You mine ghost. Okay, moving on. The sorcerer went to walk down into the mine when an arrow shot from above, pinning his robe into the dirt.
Oh, shit.
A female elf hopped down from the top of the mine's entrance. "Balnakar the Severed," shouted the elf. "Vengeance has come for you." The sorcerer let out a long, annoyed sigh. The elf continued. "You slain my mother on her birthday, when she was about to blow out the candles in her cake. You magically made wind come through and blow out the candles. Then the lights came back on, and my mother was turned into a dead mom. I believe I melted all the skin and muscle off of her face, and when the lights came back on, she just had a skull for a head. Then the skull spun and laughed and flew away."
He remembers yes. that one.
Yes, said the elf coldly.
I'm sorry. I just happened to remember that particular murder. I'm quite proud of it. You know, you all got spooked in the process. You know, her body is still out there flying somewhere.
"Enough talk," shouted the archer. "Prepare yourself for the worst beating you've..." But before she could finish, Balnakar shot a purple spell out of his staff, which struck her directly in the forehead. Her skin and muscle melted from her face, and her skull spun, and she flew away.
"Say hi to your mom for me, you punk-ass bitch,"
holy shit,
said Balnakar as he removed the arrow from its cloak and continued into the mine.
Dude, again, I love him.
The evil sorcerer traveled through underground tunnels for what seemed like days before he finally found what he was looking for. There, at the bottom of the mine, lay a black dagger with red runes inscribed all over it, hidden from the world. Balnakar's eyes grew wide as he reached down to pick it up. He held it in his hands and could hear the whispers of the ghost that lived in the mine.
Oh my god.
"Stop right there, you foul being!" yelled a voice from behind. "What the fuck do you want?"
yelled the sorcerer as he turned around. Before him stood a dwarf paladin, armed with a two-handed hammer covered in plated armor.
Judgment has come for you, Balnakar the Severed. My name is Danith, and I have come to avenge the death of both of my parents. The sorcerer sighed again. How did I kill them? He said. They were out dining for the 20th anniversary when they decided to get some dessert. You disguised yourself as a giant cake, and when they went to cut it, you jumped out and farted in their faces, and the fart was so gross it caught their faces on fire. And when they tried to put out the fire, you handed them a towel soaked in flammable fluids, and they burned and burned until they died, and you roasted marshmallows over their bodies. That was definitely not me. Not my style at all, mm-hmm. said the headless sorcerer. Oh, well, I suppose I have the wrong guy, said the dwarf as he lowered his hammer. My apologies, I guess I'll be on my way. Hey, before you go, said Balnakar, do you think you could... Suddenly, the sorcerer plunged the dagger right into the paladin's forehead.
Oh my god.
Hold this for a second!
Balnakar laughed maniacally as the dagger's wound began to grow bigger in the dwarf's skull. A portal to another realm began to open up.
I did kill your parents, shouted Balnakar.
Oh my god.
But I didn't jump out of that cake. I hired that guy to jump out of the cake.
Out of the portal stepped a disgusting, buff, super scary kind of guy that if you saw walking down the street, you'd do a double take and get double scared blood demon. He had red dripping blood skin and black wings with super scary horns. Dinneth fell over dead.
What is your bidding, master? Spoke the blood demon. We are going to kill barbarians, demon. Replied the sorcerer, who began to laugh maniacally again.
Zoom out of the cave. Zoom out of the forest. Fade to black. Fade up on words that read, the end. Fade up on a question mark. Then, the words drip blood.
The end.
And then another the end.
Just slaps right over.
Just paste over it, like not even fucking... Oh my god.
It just flashes up once and then goes
just
away.
Just goes away.
Oops. Yep. Oops. That wasn't supposed to stay there. That wasn't... Someone left that in the cut.
They didn't edit that out. Oh my god. That was a great story, dude. Balnakar, I fucking love Balnakar.
Dude, he's fucking evil as shit, man.
Dude, he might be my favorite bad guy in Orcspire and Darinos combined.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, whoa.
I love him.
What about that? What was I going to say? sorry. I just like... I'm out of breath from talking.
It's okay. I was like laughing and stuff, and I'm like yawning because I can't like breathe right.
There isn't enough air going to your brain.
Yeah, like I'm like dying from laughing and stuff.
That's an actual thing that happens with this podcast, mm-hmm. is that we get lightheaded.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, where am I? I'm high on laughing at shit.
I'm high on fiction.
On fantasy.
Everyone, and welcome to another episode of
Chamber of Knowledge.
I am Reese's the Wise.
Here with old Snickerdoodle, yes. The better looking one.
Maybe.
I'm sorry. This is the Chamber of Knowledge, and in my chamber of bedroom, that is fact.
I thought this was the Chamber of Knowledge, Snickerdoodle, not the Chamber of Harsh Truths.
Isn't knowledge harsh truth?
Yeah, sometimes. Yes, sometimes.
You don't think you're more beautiful than I am? You don't want to argue about it?
Not today, Snickerdoodle. Sometimes I have to let you have one of these.
You are so right that I am beautiful. First scroll
is from Freddie Malcolm. He asks... What do you do with your scrolls after you're done with them?
Whatever we want, whenever we want to. How's that? Send your pictures to dear old Snickerdoodle. They're my pictures now, you punk-ass sack of shitty shit.
Snickerdoodle.
What's gotten into you today?
Look, I'm just saying, if you send me a scroll, it's mine forever.
That's true. We don't, sometimes we file them, and sometimes we just roll some J's.
Yeah, we roll them for wizard doobs.
Big spliffs. Nah, big mean. Time. Nah,
big
mean.
Big timers. Cash money millionaires. Go, how about you, Reese's?
Just the big spliffs. That's what all I do with them. If you're not hoarding them, that is. I mean, you're very hoardy when it comes to the scrolls, Snickerdoodle.
The truth is, I eat them because I don't know how to go to the food library and get food. Next scroll. Michael Vozatka asks. There seems to be an odd fascination with the moons in the old DNO. I'm assuming he means Deranos and.
I guess I guess.
Moon's Day, moon caves, and other moon-related shaka like that. Is there a reason for this? Reese's.
Have you seen the moons? I mean, have you seen them? I love moonlight. Sometimes I just go out at night and get all buck in the pale moonlight. Have you ever danced with a naked wizard in the pale moonlight?
Just bathe on your bony body.
Just let the moonlight sun moonburn me.
And how about this? The moon is like magic. How did it get up there? That's
Nobody
why
knows.
It's cool.
How did they get up there?
We'll
Nobody knows.
Know. We'll never know.
No one will ever go to them ever.
We know. Because this is the Chamber of Knowledge, but you'll never know. Next scroll.
Next scroll is from Ian Carter. He asks, what are some common illnesses in Deranos and Orcspire? Stick-a-doodle.
Well, in Orcspire, a big problem here is rickety butt-itis. It's a problem with your butt. You get butt-itis, and there is no cure, and that's kind of a big problem.
There are so many young children with rickety butt-itis. It's heartbreaking.
There are orphan houses full of them, and it makes me sad because everyone has a butt, so you could get it.
Anyone can get it. You're not immune. Mm-mm. Use protection.
Use protection. Put pants on. How about in Deranos?
In Deranos, we have booty fever, corn
that's
lips.
That's like buttitis. It's not the same.
It can kill you.
They all can kill you.
There's corn lips, where your lips turn into corn.
Goodness.
And of course, the common cold, a.k.a. sicky-sicky laydown disease.
Oh my goodness, you had sicky-sicky laydown disease for a whole day yesterday.
I did, and I was like, ugh, I just feel yucky.
And I wouldn't cast a heal spell on you until you told me I was the most beautiful wizard.
I had to die first. You let me die and then resurrected me.
I did.
It's a good way to cure a disease, honestly.
To be serious... Yeah. Next scroll. At Steps Over Snails asks, hey, Wizbos, what is a group of batpools called, and what happens if you eat one? Are there batpool trees?
Whole group of batpools?
Believe that. It's called a bushel cloud. And you turn into a chair if you eat one. That's known, but I want to specify here. Wooden chair. And, yes... But don't nap under a tree of batpools, because you will wake up either surrounded by batpools or surrounded by batpools with knives.
Batpools are serious, serious creatures over there.
There is a PSA out there. You can see posters of it. It says, don't take a bite, take a hike. Batpools, beware! Get out of my face! That says all of that.
It says all of that on the PSA.
Yes,
it's very helpful.
Yes, I made them. I think people should be careful.
You're doing the public a great service, Snickerdoodle.
I'm doing
like
moon's work.
Doing moon's work.
Next scroll.
Next scroll is from at AJDWP Hantum. They ask.
Don't know what that means.
I don't know either. They ask, is it true that wizard weed is a gateway drug? Snickerdoodle.
Gateway to heaven, baby.
Damn, Snickerdoodle.
Get lifted.
In Daranos, it is considered a gateway drug, but only if you stand in front of a gateway and smoke it, and the gateway opens up. That is the only time.
It is a key. You do not understand that, because you don't live here, but yes.
It's a key to your mind's eye.
Dew, dew, dew. Next group!
Next group!
At Mike Hacks asks, is there anywhere in Daranos and Orcspire that isn't filled with danger? Reese's.
Yes. In Daranos, base. You're safe in base. It's a city.
Oh, that's very interesting. Is that next to jail?
Yes. And there are cards you can find sometimes that are get-out-of-jail-free cards.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And if you find one, you keep it, and if you go to jail, then you can go to base.
It's pretty ridiculous. I heard if you... This is just a rumor,
right,
I heard.
Yes.
But if you're put in jail, and your friend runs into jail and yells, jailbreak... Then anyone who's in jail can go home.
The legal system in Daranos is really antiquated.
If you're caught, you have to go back to jail, but otherwise, hey man, fair game.
We also like to play all sea ball tag.
Yes, that is a fun game.
What about you, Snickerdoodle?
In Orcspire, there's Murder Pond, which is especially nice in the autumn. It's a pretty safe area.
It sounds lovely.
It is. You can go fishing for fruit fish. It's a fish that tastes like a fruit.
No.
Yes. Pie fish? Fish that tastes like pie? Yes.
Snickerdoodle.
Murder Pond. Come on down to the fishing hole.
I hope you take me there sometimes, Snickerdoodle.
I've invited you 3 times last week.
I ignored those invites. I'm not even going to lie to you. I wasn't even paying attention to you when you were talking
to
me.
You told me you had counsel. 3 councils, and you stared out the window all day.
I was counseling with my thoughts, Snickerdoodle.
You were probably thinking of what you want to masturbate to later. That's what it probably
was. Well, I have to think about what I want to masturbate to because we don't have any porn in this house anymore.
We have an RC ball, but it's my RC ball, and if you want it, you can knock on my door and ask me for it, but you have to tell me what you're about to use it for, and I know you can't even say it.
Which is why I haven't yet, because I can't. I mean... I feel weird asking you to masturbate to your RC ball, Snickerdoodle.
Understandable.
I hope Santa brings me one for Christmas.
Who the hell is Santa?
I hope Wizard Santa brings me one for Christmas.
Oh, yes. Yes, I am familiar with Wizard Santa.
I've been a good wizard boy this year.
This says you. That is all the information everyone should receive, because it was really too much. Wizard Santa they now know about, so expect a flood of scrolls his way.
You're right.
Let's get out of here. I'm tired.
Right.
I'm going to be in my chamber thinking about how good-looking I am.
Snickerdoodle, can I borrow your RC ball?
For?
Booties. I want to see the booties.
Yes.
Well, that was more information from those gentlemen.
Every week, man. I don't know. Every single week. Why do we... God.
Get your own show.
Right? They just, like, butt in. I mean, we're contractually obligated at this point to have them on, but...
Anyway.
That's for the lawyers to sort.
I want to just say thank you to everyone who's ever used the Audible link. Anyone who's purchased the shirt or just sent us a prompt or suggestion or have just given the show a chance for the first time with this episode.
Right.
Thank you so much. This is a really great thing that we get to do, and we're really happy. And if you want to support the show, go ahead and leave an iTunes review.
Yes.
Like this one, Josh.
I'm going to read one. It's called The Trading Places of Podcasts.
Which I don't quite get, but I approve of.
I like that movie, so okay.
Okay, it takes place in Philly, so.
Yeah. It's by Samuel J. Newton, and he says, the only podcast that'll make your mama say, boys, quit your jobs and do nothing but watch this podcast, because if you don't, I'll probably disown you or something else to make you cry, because I've been worked into a sexual frenzy.
Whoa.
Parentheses. But really, though, this podcast is crazy funny. Thanks to Dom and Josh, who have an honest, casual hilarity. Thank you very much. That's very nice.
Well, thank you. That's a very nice compliment. We appreciate every review we get. I guarantee you we read each and every one of them because I check twice a day.
Yes.
Hey, we're almost at 200 reviews, which I think is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But every review we get helps us out on getting featured on iTunes. So if that happens, then I don't know. I guess something is supposed to happen.
We throw a party. I mean, there's a fireworks and drinking.
We'll get drunk again.
Yeah, we'll just get drunk again.
We'll do another drunk episode. Yeah. Man, we're gonna do that anyway, guys.
Don't tell them that.
Don't tell them.
Make them think that they're gonna make us do it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
I also wanted to say thank you to Daniel Tan, who covered the Hoagie song from last week. If you are unfamiliar with Daniel's work, you should check out his YouTube. I'll put a link in the show notes. You may remember him from his Cox and Crendor cartoons, which are fucking awesome, and they're always hilarious. And you might see an Easter egg in one if you've watched it before.
Yeah, go check them out and see if you can spot it. And also check them out because they're funny, and do it.
Yeah, Daniel's a really talented animator, and the Cox and Crendor stuff is really funny, so they go together pretty fucking well.
Yep.
So check out his channel and subscribe. But hey, for next week, Josh, we got two prompts here.
Two prompts.
And I'm going to read them. Next week, we're going to do Dark Knights by Adam Castle, which, Josh...
Adam Castle,
that a fantasy name?
I think he made that name up just to post on our Facebook page. I think that's it's a very canonical name, but I don't believe that it's his real name.
Well, you know, the Punisher's last name is Castle. You know that, right?
Frank Castle, right?
Yeah.
Frank.
So based off that logic, it's probably a real name.
Based off of a comic book, which is real, it's a real
which
name.
Which is real life.
Yeah.
This is probably real. And we're also going to do Elementals, which was suggested by @DylanShow on Twitter. So thank you guys for those prompts, and thank you everyone who submitted a prompt, because Josh and I take about 10 minutes to go through them, and we laugh like idiots at all of them.
I love the one from Ajit Govet, Insanity Moons.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that is, but I kind of want to do it.
I like @SladeIans on Twitter. He suggested Bone Robots.
Bone Robots is pretty good.
Or @InkYen_Art, Butter and Steel. That's a cartoon. That's the name of a cartoon that hasn't been made yet.
It's like those are just exports. Mm-hmm. Those are just like the GDP of a country.
Great exports. Jacob Stancliffe also jokingly suggested Heffalumps and Woozles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a joke? Oh, I already started writing mine.
I've wrote two stories about that, Jacob. Yeah. Thanks for undercutting us.
Yeah, thanks.
Our worth.
Good job.
Our value, our skill.
Unbelievable.
I'm coming for you.
We know where you live.
123 Jacob Street. Stancliffe, USA.
189, you're fucking dead.
Oh man.
But thanks everyone for listening to another show, and until next week, Josh.
Until next week, keep on wizarding.
Keep on wizarding down the wizarding road. Pull on the hammer. That's a thing in a truck. I'm gonna put on some truck nuts that are green.
Or
put them
nuts
on the back of my ATV. Go at max speed till my mama says, get inside for supper.
And when you say supper, there's a guitar that goes, yeah, man.
And demons are summoned. The end.
Goodbye.
Bye.